This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton.
Brian Cushing, what kind of a player could he be without steroids?
Jeff Loggeman.
It's a lot better to be picked last and finish higher.
And Vic Ketchman.
Negative all the time, Vic.
Okay, Bill, please, you're going to make me cry here. Your positivity is just negative.
Dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
I wish I was the voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Vic Ketchman, and I am the laptop of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm the Jaguars.com senior editor.
The matriarch.
Brian Sexton is on vacation. Jeff Loggeman is on vacation. And I'm all alone in the studio, but I won't be all alone tonight on the air because I'm going to have with me General Manager Gene Smith, and I know you're going to love that, and I'm going to have you. I hope I'm going to have a lot of you, because if I don't, I'm going to be talking to myself, or I'm talking to Joe, which is the same thing.
Thanks, pal. I love you too.
Yeah. Well, we have similar thoughts. Not.
Yeah.
Gene Smith is coming on at about in a few minutes. And we're going to speak to him specifically about a story I wrote from an interview I did with Gene yesterday, in which he said he made some strong statements. And, you know, I'm hearing these same strong statements being made throughout the organization. They were started by Coach Jack Del Rio this past spring, late winter, when he announced that the goal this season is to win the division title. And I know you're thinking, well, that's every team's goal. But, you know, Coach Del Rio has been very open about that. I mean, this isn't just something that he's saying in passing. Clearly this team is being bold in its message to itself, to its players, to its fans, to its media. And the message is that there are no excuses. The message is that that this isn't about the future, it's about now. I'm not sure that I agree with all of that, but it is the mindset they want to take into the season, and we're going to talk to Gene about that and some comments he made to me in the story I did that appears on Jaguars.com right now. Before I bring him on, and he is with us, waiting in the wings, I will read to you what he told me and what is in the story. And this is a quote from General Manager Gene Smith. Quote, "The number one thing I see developing is mental will. I'm a firm believer that mental will wins more often than physical skill. Through the effort and commitment the players have made, we probably have the most competitive roster we've had since I've been here." And Gene Smith has been here since the very beginning. He was a Tom Coughlin hire. He was a wet behind the ears Blesto scout that Tom Coughlin, in whom Tom Coughlin saw a lot of talent and a lot of work ethic. And he quickly rose to the ranks of director of college scouting, and then most recently, within the last year, to the rank of general manager, the only general manager, first and only ever general manager in Jaguars history. And if you remember the remark that Jack Del Rio made in announcing that Gene Smith was going to be the general manager, he said, "Gene has the con." And in this case, the con means control. And in terms of control, Gene Smith is right up there with Bill Parcells. And with that, I'll bring on Gene Smith. Good evening, Gene.
Hi, Vic.
How are you?
I'm doing good, and thanks for the kind words.
You're very welcome. comments you made to me yesterday for the story that I did today have energized the fan base, to say the least. I've gotten a lot of comments, Gene, from fans who want to know, what did you mean, what do you mean when you said, and I quote you, We probably have the most competitive roster we've had since I've been here. What does most competitive roster mean?
Well, from my perspective, I'm talking from top to bottom. You know, there's a lot of teams around the league that I think you can point to and say they got elite player here, elite player here, elite player here. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that football is the ultimate team sport. I think it takes more than one or two or three players to compete at the highest level. And I really believe it's not just about the frontline players. I think it's the depth on your roster. I think when you look at your 53 and you compare it to other people's 53, there's a lot of them that are comparable at the top end, but there's not a lot of them that are comparable. Let's say in the bottom half of the roster, and there's a lot of players in that group that play roles, in essence. It could be in your sub packages, it could be on special teams, and certainly we like guys who can play the four core special teams. And I just feel like the battles that we have for starting jobs, the battles we have within position groups to make the team, okay? Do we keep five or six? You know, do we keep three or four players at a particular position when you get down to your 53-man roster? I feel like being a part of every team that's been here, this is, to me, the most competitive roster that we have. And then when I say that, I'm also talking about the competitive nature of the players on the roster. You know, I talk about talent, I talk about character, but I also talk about competitiveness. And I think that is something that enables teams to win in the fourth quarter, win late in the year. And certainly the end of the last year did not finish how all of us wanted, but I hope it's a catalyst to how we start this year.
I got to tell you, you surprised me with this. You blew me away. I couldn't have been more surprised if I had woke up and my head was stitched to the carpet. Which is from a favorite movie of mine. Never mind. Anyhow, I mean, I was trying to think, what does he mean by this? And I was thinking, well, he means there are a lot of job opens. And clearly, there are a lot of job opens, and we'll get to that. But in telling us right now what your deep definition, your specific definition of competitive roster, most competitive roster since you've been here, means, I think you're telling us that you like your roster, that you like your talent, that you think you've got, that you think you've got some depth. And that kind of surprises me, because I thought that, being that last year was the first year of a reconstruction era, I figured you were at least a year away from that. But, hey, that's okay. Don't take it back. I'm glad to hear the news.
Well, Vic, I think when you're trying to win a championship, you're never satisfied with what you're doing. And all I can tell you is I feel confident we'll be good. How good? Time will tell. And obviously this is a league different than college and high school from the standpoint of health. Impacts, you know, whether you win or lose in this league probably more than any other level, because the players are bigger, they're faster, the season is twice as long. Our players are older. So with that, sometimes you don't recover as quick from injury. So, I mean, you have to have talent, there's no question, but you also have to have good fortune with the health of your football team. And I feel like if we're able to stay healthy like a year ago, I'm optimistic about our chances this year. And I try to use a word called will, okay, because I really believe that word is something that separates people. It separates players. You got to have mental will to be able to fight through adversity in life, on a football field. I think that's what wins for you on third down. That's what wins for you in the red zone. That's what wins for you late in the year when you got a team that's playing through some things and trying to get into the playoffs. And there's a lot of physically talented players that, because of a lack of mental will, the discipline it takes to prepare, the mental focus it takes to make the play in a contested situation, sometimes they underachieve if they don't have enough of it, or you underachieve as a team. And I just feel like this football team's a little different in that area, that there's a stronger mental will and there's leadership emerging that, to me, is very encouraging as we head into the 2010 season.
When did you see that? This past spring? Was that something that surfaced in OTAs, or was that something that started to surface last season?
You know, to me, start preparing for a season because, you know, the talent pool changes year to year. And I do think it's more of a year-to-year league now than ever. But I think your season in terms of preparation starts when you start your out-of-season program. You know, there's no off-season in football. There's an in-season where you're playing games and an out-of-season where we're preparing to win games the next year. So I think when we went into an out-of-season program with Luke Richardson and his staff, and then certainly through that process and the OTA process, you just saw certain things starting to develop within our football team. And it's something that I think, you know, will transfer to training camp in the preseason. And I'm confident, again, it'll transfer into the real season when we start playing games.
I'm Vic Ketchman. The show is Jaguars This Week. Our guest is Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith. And before we talk more to Gene, Joe wants to sell you something.
No, I want to talk to the season ticket holders, Victor. For every person you refer who purchases season tickets, you will be entered into our Super Bowl referral sweepstakes. And that can get you a trip to this year's Super Bowl over in Dallas. So, season ticket holders, call 633-2000 for more information. That's 633-2000. Vic will return on Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Fans, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. And one person who does get it is Mr. Warmth, Vic Ketchman.
That's right, Mr. Warmth. That's me, Mr. Warm, Mr. Sincere, Mr. Sensitive. Brian and Jeff are on vacation, so you're stuck with me. But fortunately, we've got Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith with us this evening. If you would like to talk to him, call 1-800-4-LOVE and ask for Darla. No? What should they call, Joe?
Locally, 355-NFL-1. That's 6351 if you're not good with letters like Vic. Or if you're outside the calling area, yeah, 1-800-355-NFL-1.
See how much fun this show becomes when you get rid of these other two stiffs? See? Uh-huh. Gene Smith's our guest. We're talking about some comments he made in a story I wrote, and he has, I think he's blown us all away with him. He's blown me away. I think he's blown away the fans. He's given, I tell you what, Gene, you've given me a level of confidence going into this season. You've heightened my sense of expectation beyond what it was or whatever I thought it could be. So. And that's a good thing. I mean, I want to think that this season could be something more than just another step in the rebuilding process. And it sounds like you believe it can be.
Well, I don't try to overstate things. I mean, I try to be accurate and honest.
I know that.
You ask me a question, I try to give you how I feel, you know, the heartbeat of the team. The fans aren't as close to the team day to day as you or I, in particular, I just really believe that it takes good players who play great together to win championships, and I feel like have assembled a group of good players who are unselfish and who are committed in their preparation to win as a team. And I think that's a powerful thing when you get players with a mindset to play as a team, because I tell you, at this sport, it's not any one player. It's all of them working together in their defined roles.
If you want to win in this league, you got to do two things for sure. Rush the passer, protect the quarterback. Now, last season, the two teams in the Super Bowl, Indianapolis and New Orleans, were two of the best in the league at that combined skill of rush the passer, protect the quarterback. Peyton Manning and Drew Brees didn't get sacked very often, and the other team's quarterbacks got sacked a lot. That's how you win in today's game. Rush the passer and protect your quarterback. Rush their passer, protect your passer. And, Gene, you have, in 2 years, when you're in your drafts, selected two offensive tackles who are now your starters at those two positions. And this past, let's not forget a defensive lineman, Terrence Knighton, who is one of your starting defensive tackles. And then this year, your first four picks were defensive linemen. So it would seem that you are positioned to rush the passer, to get better at rushing the passer and protecting your passer. Am I right?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, when you look at our football team, I think it's one that's going to make a transformation up front in terms of the progress we've made, you know, in those two areas of our football team. I mean, Andy Heck worked with the offensive line, and Joe Collin with the defensive line. You know, they're good teachers. I feel like just the overall athletic ability of both groups is where we need to be, you know, if you want to compete at the highest level. Now, how good we get, you know, again, time will tell. But if we're going to take a step this season, I firmly believe it's going to start up front with how we're able to win. And a lot of the winning up front is winning the one-on-one situations. You don't get into situations all the time where you have help, so you got to be able to win one-on-one. And whether it's offensive line in the pass protection, you're matched up one-on-one. You got to win. Whether you're on the defensive line and it's third and seven, you got to beat your guy one-on-one. I mean, you can't create rush all the time with scheme or try to get a guy free. You got to have a man-to-man situation where you're winning the majority of the time with your defensive lineman.
Last year, David Garrard was the most hit quarterback in the league. In other words, not just the most sacked quarterback in the league. I don't believe he was. But he got knocked down. He was hit after he released the ball. He was hit as he was throwing the ball more times than any quarterback in the league. What do you believe David Garrard can be? What do you believe he could do if he was the least hit quarterback in the league?
Well, I think he can do what he did in 2007. I mean, he did it the whole year. He didn't do it for two games. He did it for the whole year. And obviously David has done a nice job to the out-of-season program, being a leader and really asserting himself throughout the OTAs. And I feel like he's got a lot of time on task. And certainly with age and with time on task at that position, age is wisdom. And I feel like if we do the things around him, he'll be able to maximize his talent. And I admire David from the standpoint of leading the league in a stat you really don't want to lead the league in. You know, quarterback hits. He never missed a start. And the players on the football team know he is a tough guy. This guy is going to play through things. He's going to keep getting up. He's not going to point the finger. He's just going to take care of his job and certainly try to make the players around him better by how he performs. And, I mean, I feel like, again, every team goes into a season with needs, okay? There's not a team in the NFL that wouldn't tell you they have some position groups where they have depth issues.
Where right? Where are your needs on offense?
Well, I think we got to have receivers step up and win one-on-one. You know, people are going to stack the box and try to take the run away. We got to be able to win outside when they give us single coverage. I think when you look at it, interior offensive line, I think certainly we got to get stronger there. Coming out of last year, we did not anchor well enough inside, but we have some guys. Brad Meester did an outstanding job through OTAs. Keenan Forney, we certainly acquired. Justin Smiley. Vince is still coming back from the knee. And then Uche Nwori has played all three spots, and he certainly is a young ascending player. So we have a lot of competition. We have some guys who need to play better, and they're very aware of that. But we're going to put five guys out on the field opening day, and hopefully it's a group that can gel together that will enable us to compete at a high level. And so I think, you know, coming out of last year, you would have said interior offensive line. I say going into the season, you're probably saying we got to have some receivers step up, and when they're one-on-one situations, win. Now, we have a couple of talented young players, when given opportunities, did well last year, but they got to take that into this season and continue on in terms of their development. So I'm very encouraged because we do have some people on offense who have some explosiveness to them, where if they get the ball in a one-on-one situation in the open field, they break a tackle, it could be a home run.
We're going to take our break for at the bottom of the hour. Well, do you have to play the music right away? I wanted to say something.
Got plenty of music. Go ahead. Say it.
Do we have time?
Yes.
If there's one thing I like about this team's chances going into the season, it's that the other three teams in the division all seem to have some issues. You're laughing at me. Seriously, they do have issues. It's
not
easy coming off a Super Bowl loss. That's a tough one.
Right.
And those guys, the Colts I'm talking about, were pointing fingers at themselves the last time we saw them after they lost the Super Bowl. And the Texans, can they keep Matt Schaub healthy? Because without him, they don't win. And where's Andre Johnson and his quest to get a new contract? And what about the Chris Johnson saga and the Vince Young saga in Tennessee? And, you know, the nice thing about the Jaguars is they don't have any of those issues. I expect Rasheem Mathis to be here and for that little spring fling to end and this team to have absolutely nothing but blue skies above it on opening day in training camp. And we're going to break for the news, and then we're going to come back with more Gene Smith.
Just don't start singing. All right, this portion of Jaguars this week.
Yeah, I might.
Okay. We're brought to you by Best Buy. Visit your nearest Best Buy in Regency, the Avenues, River City Marketplace, Town Center, and in Orange Park. General Manager Gene Smith and Vic will be back right after a short time out. Some news, traffic, and weather right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Hey, gang, did you know that for every pair of club seats you purchase, you get another one for half price? It's true. This great offer is also good for our current club seat holders as well. That's kind of redundant, isn't it, as well? Now, for every two club seats you do own, you can purchase an additional seat at half price. All you need to do is call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com for more information. Victor?
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. No Brian, no Jeff, no problem. I got GM Gene, and he's here for you if you would like to call and ask a question. And John from Mandarin has called, and he has a question to ask, so Joe, plug him in. Hello, John.
Hello, Vic.
How are you?
Very, very good. Mr. Smith, before I answer or ask my question, I wanted to thank you very much for the great work you did in last year's draft and probably drafting one of our best classes in the history of the Jaguars. And we look forward to the draft picks for this past year also performing at an extremely high level and getting us to where we need to be in the playoffs. My question is, I know you select the best available player when you draft, and how do you balance that for needs? And I know this past year there was a lot of draft picks on defense. The year before was on offense, and probably next year there's certainly going to be a need. We haven't drafted a quarterback in a long time. How will you approach next year's draft in drafting a quarterback, or at the same time selecting best available player?
Well, first, thanks for your kind words. I'm smart enough to know I'm not a one-man show. I've got Terry McDonough and a full staff of scouts who do a tremendous job, so I appreciate your comments about the draft. I think it is defined by how it transfers the field, and that's why I'm optimistic this year. But to your question specifically on best available player as it relates to the quarterback position, I think the quarterback position certainly is a premium position. And every year, you know, we're looking at quarterbacks because this is a league, obviously, that quarterbacks, because of how the rules are set up and so forth, and for offenses, you got a chance to be very good if your quarterback can perform well. But we're smart enough to know that it takes more than one player on offense. And in trying to acquire a guy, you want to make sure that when you feel like there's a player there that you're have affection for, that you don't push a player up and then you, in essence, overdraft and a guy comes in and underperforms. You try to treat the quarterback position like any other position, with the exception of the fact that is more of a premium position. So within a grade range, you know, when you're trying to slot your value line, typically if all the players are in the same grade range, it's going to be ranked closer to what your need may be. And if it happens to be a quarterback, then it's a quarterback. If it happens to be another position, it's another position. But you never push players up because you say you have a need or you'd like to draft a quarterback. You try to slot them for who they are by grade, and then within the rank, if they're all in the same grade range, then you know you would stack them closer to what your needs are. You wouldn't continue to take, let's say, a running back in three rounds, and then into the fourth round, fifth round, you would continue to take the best available player and try to fit the needs on your team in line with that thinking. So I know I gave you a little bit of a winded response, but I'm trying to give you a broader picture.
So are you saying that you take the best available player or you don't take the best available player?
You're taking the best available player.
Okay. So regardless of position, because I'm going to tell you, Gene, this is the one subject people will drive themselves into the nut house on this question. This is nothing causes consternation. Nothing causes confusion like this question. I don't know. They start to shake and they wet themselves. They don't know how to digest this information. So you please make it plain. It's best available, not need. Is that correct?
That's correct. But you got to understand, because the gentleman asked a very good question, that you get a lot of players, especially as you move down the draft board, that become more similar. Okay, towards the top end, there's different levels within like the first round. As you get down the draft board, again, you're looking at players that are very similar. Okay, when you get in the middle or late rounds. And so as you get within a level in a round, like the first round, or you get into rounds where players become more similar, if the grade range is the same, then you're stacking your board, in essence, regardless of position, is how the computer brings it out. And then if you're into levels in the first round, or again, where you get into rounds where players are similar, you're ranking it by needs on your football.
So if you've taken a running back with each of your first three picks, you would sure like to not take a running back with your fourth pick if at all possible.
Right.
But you don't. But you're not going to reach.
I wouldn't take three running backs in a row. Right. I mean, but I'm trying to make a point that if you took a position two or three times in the draft, you're probably not going to take it the fourth time, the fifth time. We happen to take defensive line, two ends and two tackles, because that's the way the board fell.
Right.
But it was a defensive and a defensive line, specifically, heavy draft.
That's the way the board fell, meaning to do something else would have represented a significant reach.
Right.
Okay, there we go. Let's talk.
Right, but I'm trying to give a little bit broader sense of how you build your value line. I mean, it's by grade, it's computer generated, and then when you get, players that are very similar in ability or within a grade range, obviously based on who you've selected or what your situation is on your roster, I mean, if two things are equal, you're going to take what you need more.
So if you've got four people who are all in the 6.3s, you're going to take the one that satisfies a need.
Right, so you're going to get value, plus it's going to satisfy a need.
But if there's...
You're not going to take a need over value.
Right,
okay?
Right.
We're going to stay within levels in a round, or just clearly the best available player. I mean, it's only when players become similar or they're all within the same grade range, and that does happen sometimes. So I think that's where some people say, how can you just pick best available player? Well, you're going to see most teams early in the draft take best available player. Then there are some teams after the first pick will immediately go to need. I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to continue to try the best available player until you get into a grade range where obviously you're going to take need, okay, still acquiring value.
Joe, who's good here? Number four, let's talk to Spence, who's on JTB and wants to talk about linebackers. Hi, Spence.
Hey, guys. Gene, if you wore a jersey and had a number on game day, I'd buy your jersey. So in lieu of that, I'm going to wear a coat and tie to games every day this year, all right? I really like what you're doing with the squad, and I want to talk a little bit about – I'm going to look forward to the end of the year, and I'm going to think that one of the biggest acquisitions, including the draft that this team made, possibly could be Kurt Morrison. If he continues on the trajectory of, you know, the last 4 years, he's been one of the leading tacklers in the entire league. By adding him to the middle and moving Darryl Smith now more, I mean, what I remember from 2, 3, 4 years ago was seeing Darryl Smith really start to come in to be a dominant outside linebacker. And it just seemed like last year, just not a great middle linebacker. And so can you talk a little bit about the domino effect of what you've been able to do with Morrison, but also is there a chance with the offensive line is there any potential with the domino effect there where if one guy is able to move over to center, does it free up another guy to be better at guard and so on like that? I appreciate
it. Well, you have a personnel mindset. Darryl was probably our most consistent defensive football player last year, and a lot of linebacker play is dictated on how people are performing in front of them. But I do think Darryl feels more comfortable outside. Kirk obviously feels more comfortable inside. So I think it strengthens us in the fact that, you know, we're playing to the strength of the players, you know. So that allows, you know, Darryl and we have Justin Durant and Russell Allen really competing strongly for that four spot. So I feel good about where we're at with the linebacking core. And then on the offensive line, I think you make a good point. You know, we're going to play our best five. Now, Vinny Manawai is playing right guard. He played left guard all last year. Left guard has to pull more. The right guard doesn't. So it's more of run blocking. You're on the front side of the protection most of the time as the right guard. So you certainly have to anchor the pockets. The quarterback, who is right-handed, could step into his throws. So I think that's going to help Vinny. It's going to help our situation in terms of making it more competitive on the three positions inside because, yeah, somebody else could play center if they beat out Brad. But, again, I don't know.
Did we lose him, Joe?
I think we lost him.
Oh, his cell phones do that all the time. You know what that means. It's time for a break. I hope, Spence, that you got enough information out of Gene's answer. I did. And what he's telling you is that Kirk Morrison is a natural middle linebacker and Darryl Smith is a natural strong side linebacker, and they're each going to be in the proper position this year, which means the linebacker play should be better for this team because they won't have guys out of position. And Justin Durant is clearly a natural weak side backer. So Kirk Morrison, yes, the domino effect of that Kirk Morrison has created is definitely a positive for the Jaguars. With that, let's go to a break.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and a whole lot more. Stop by Gate today. Vic will be back right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. This final segment of tonight's Jaguars This Week program on WOKV is brought to you by Just X Watches. Just X Watches are available exclusively at Espling Jewelers. Victor?
The weather meter is a 7.
7.
Someone better tell that guy that Noah's Ark is parked outside.
It's coming.
Weather is a 7. It's beautiful.
Everything by twos, Victor.
I'm telling you, if they can pay me, give me $50, and I'll do it all week long. I'll do the weather meter. I'll just look outside and I'll put a number on it. They got these guys up in Pennsylvania who don't have a clue what's going on down here. And what are they paying them? What do those guys get paid? What are they? A couple grand a week?
I don't know.
Highway robbery. Hey, Gene's gone. But I want to thank...
I wish he was back.
Yeah. He saved my butt tonight. You know, no Logman, no Sexton. I'm coming off vacation. It's the dead zone, and I got what's left of my mind and yours.
That don't count on my mind.
Thank God we had Gene. Thank God Gene dropped this line on me yesterday, or would have had nothing.
You know what I'm sad about? I'm sad the whole my head stapled to the carpet line went right over Gene's head.
Yeah.
He needs to get out more.
He obviously never seen Christmas Vacation, which, you know, so he's got that going for him, which is nice. That's Caddyshack. John from Keystone wants to make a comment before we go off the air. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Couldn't be better.
Yeah. What I want to say is this a preview of Monday Night with Vic? And
I don't know what we're doing. What are we doing, Joe? Is that show gone? Am I coming back?
Coming back, but you're going to be here with Gene Smith, the Gene Smith Show.
What do you know?
Okay.
What do you know? Isn't that something? And the thing is
why didn't anyone tell me this?
I just told you.
You got me.
I didn't know. I knew it before you did.
You did?
You did. I told him before I told you.
Yeah. You're on 5-second delay. I'm apparently on 6-month delay.
Well, I think you ought to start next week.
Yeah. Well, what would you like to say, John? Because we're running out of time.
The thing is the owners and the management and the team all seem to be really excited, and I like the previous excitement from the previous callers. And I think the only thing lacking is the 12th man.
The 12th man, yeah. And by the way, you know, July is the best ticket sales month of the year traditionally, and June is the worst ticket sales month of the year, folks. But this is July 14th, and we're still in June. So if you want to plan to buy tickets, let's kick it in gear, because we're running out of days in July, and they're not lined up at the front door. So we need you. Yeah, we need the 12th man badly.
Make it the excitement like it was in '95. Let's everybody get back in there and get the tickets and start all over. This is a good team.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful, Joe? If we could start all over. You know, I would do anything to be able to turn the clock back to 1995 and do it all over again.
Okay, then, with a minute left, I still got to ask the question: what would you do differently?
I can't tell you in a minute, but I know what I would like to have seen done differently, starting with before they ever kicked off. The stadium just did not fit the franchise, just did not fit the market, didn't fit the franchise, didn't fit the future. The whole stadium construction thing, the whole stadium design thing needed to be. I wish they had gone down to Gainesville and played for a year, like Carolina going to Clemson, and taken this more slowly and done it with more. Done it more thoroughly from a design standpoint, because I think it hurt. I think the size of the stadium hurt for a lot of years.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I do.
We're out of time, John. Thanks for calling. And again, thanks to Gene Smith. I know you enjoyed listening to him, because I enjoy listening to him. I enjoy writing stories for which I have interviewed Gene, because he's a guy who he's a straight shooter, and he... He's going to get it done here. I promise you, he is going to get it done. There's no doubt in my mind. Good evening.